John Friend.
All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Friday, July 12th, 2019, and this is a pre-recorded edition of the program. My website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other radio programs I've participated in. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am also a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly history magazine affiliated with American Free Press. I encourage listeners to subscribe to these fine print publications. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all of the details. All right, with that said, let me introduce our special guest. Janice Barcelo is joining us for the very first time. Janice is an independent author, educator, researcher, and activist dedicated to exposing the dark side of the medical establishment. She maintains the excellent website Birth of a New Earth. Janice, welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm well, John. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Can you hear me?
I hear you great. Just want to make sure we're...
Yes.
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you for joining me. I've heard you on a number of other programs in the past, and you've always had very interesting things to say. You've covered a lot of very interesting topics. Topics that some of them, I guess, I've covered here a little bit, but I'm certainly no expert in some of the medical and health topics that you've kind of focused on. So we can get into some of those issues as we proceed here. But I've been a big fan of your work for a while since I first heard of you, which is probably a few years ago. I can't remember off the top of my head, but you've been somebody that I've been wanting to interview for a while. So thank you for making the time. And I did want to just mention I haven't been doing podcasts on a regular basis for the past couple weeks, and that's partly because I've been very busy. I've been traveling. I recently got married, which is an awesome, amazing thing to go through and experience. I'm very happy. So now that that's taken care of, we can kind of get back into doing the podcast on a more regular basis. So I just want to thank everybody for sticking with me. We'll be back to doing a regular Sunday afternoon program starting this week. So I just wanted to mention that right off the bat. So with that said, Janice, why don't I turn it over to you? I'd like for you to kind of talk about your background and your professional experience and how you kind of got involved in the alternative media.
Well, really what set me on this path is a very tragic experience of childbirth. Where my daughter was born not breathing in a home birth and got rushed to an emergency medical center, and they put her on their machines. And the experience of watching what they did to her, keep in mind I almost died also from hemorrhaging during that birth, and all of this really triggered memories from my own birth. That's number one, of what they had done to me in infancy, and also triggered some very severe PTSD because I basically watched them torture my daughter, my baby, and kill her. And perhaps there was some memories there for me from past life as well. I don't know, but it really, really triggered some extremely dark and deep stuff that needed to be addressed. And I addressed it by seeking out ways to heal my birth trauma. And I came to understand the significance of the way that I was born, and also of the way that we're all born. and the impact that these memories have on the rest of our lives and on our ability to give birth gently or not. You know, all of this was very, very profound learning for me. And also to finally begin to make sense of the difficulties that I had had in my relationship with my parents. Because when you look very closely at what the medical system is doing to mothers and to babies, and also by putting fathers on the periphery of the birth process, it becomes clear that what's actually happening is methodical, purposeful abuse and torture, and is designed as a system of trauma-based mind control. It is designed to break apart the family. It is designed to inhibit human love at every turn, every single intervention, from what's called prenatal care through the entire hospital birth process. Every single protocol is inflicting harm. There are no benefits. Although in our altered state of consciousness, we do come to believe that they did something useful for us. Let's say, oh yeah, they saved my life by C-sectioning me, you know? Really, they actually are the ones that are responsible for requiring the C-section and doing everything they could to force that situation to happen. But most people don't understand that. So I've done a lot of radio shows on this topic, on the impact that every single intervention has, from ultrasound. I just finished writing a book about the dangers of prenatal ultrasound. It's called The Dark Side of Prenatal Ultrasound, which took me very deep into the topic of radiation. And the fact that ultrasound is radiation, and the fact that we have been basically tricked by this very, very dark Kabbalistic Luciferian cabal. Actually, the word cabal comes from Kabbalistic. Where we get that word. We've been tricked with this radiation stuff. We've been told ultrasound is just sound waves, and that is not true. Ultrasound is radiation. It is absolutely causing harm. It's devastating what's happening to our children, and we can see this in all of the autism and all of the ADHD and all of the health epidemics that children are experiencing, with asthma, allergies, autoimmune diseases of various kinds, and the infertility issue is also huge. I don't know if most people are aware that the Western men right now have 60% less sperm than they did in 1975 when they introduced ultrasound into obstetrics. The reason that they have less sperm is because they're being chronically irradiated. Ultrasound is one of the many weapons of irradiation that are being used. But ultrasound does stop sperm production. 2 15-minute blasts of the adult male scrotum, and you have a minimum of 6 months infertility, and the infertility can be permanent. And of course, the question of the quality of the sperm that come after irradiation is also a huge issue, because the sperm can be deformed. The sperm can carry genetic defects as a result of prior irradiation. They may have motility issues, but in any event, it's going to be difficult for the sperm to create a healthy child. And we are seeing the effects, not just of ultrasonic irradiation in utero, but of chronic exposure to cell phones, cordless phones, Wi-Fi routers, baby monitors, smart meters, all of the devices, smart TVs, GPS systems in our vehicles. This is a major, major setup. And I'm telling you, we're in deep doo-doo at this point. Because it's very serious. It's very serious.
Yeah, and you know what? Let me just interject really briefly. I certainly don't doubt anything you're saying. To me, though, it's almost like it's so hard to escape it now, you know, because our modern world revolves around all this technology now. And even, I mean, think about like you've been talking quite a bit about, you know, like the birthing process, women giving birth and, you know, the modern procedures that take place in hospitals. And I mean, this is a relatively new phenomenon, right? I mean, for hundreds and thousands of years, women were giving birth just fine in their own homes, correct? I mean, things have changed dramatically within the past, oh, I don't know, you'd probably be able to give a better estimate than me, but I'd say probably within the past 100 years with the rise of modern sort of industrial corporate medicine, right?
Indeed. With the rise of the technological world, things began to shift. Women, human women, gave birth in the natural world, just like all other animals did, until the technological world sort of imposed itself in our lives. So now we give birth within structures that fit within our homes, and now it's within Luciferian temples of the occult called hospitals. So what's happening to the birth process is definitely interfering in our capacity to experience love. And at this point, it's interfering with our capacity to continue our bloodlines, because their technologies are interfering with our genetics, with our fertility, with our brain function. Every aspect of what they're doing is extremely dangerous and extremely harmful. All of this, Alzheimer's, you know, the dementia epidemic, all of this stuff is completely induced by their technologies. And right. as you said, we are at this point completely set up. We are set up, and it seems to us there's no way that we can avoid the radiation. Like, even the concept of getting off Wi-Fi in your own home becomes very triggering. Like, how could I possibly exist without Wi-Fi? I can assure you, it was one of the easier things that I was able to do, to change over to getting my internet through a cable company and using Ethernet cables instead of Wi-Fi on my computer. But to many people, they're very addicted to their cell phones, and they're very addicted to this technological way of life, and it will destroy us.
Yes, no doubt about that. I think you're right. Yeah, I think it has already had a lot of very negative impacts. And so, you know, you couple that with a lot of the propaganda and the narratives that younger people are receiving these days, especially women, how, like the sort of ultra feminist talking point and narrative is, you know, getting married and having children and being a mother is somehow oppressive, when in reality, it's actually the most beautiful, amazing thing to experience in life for a woman, and also for a man to be a father. I think we have a totally distorted way of looking at, you know, having children, raising children, being responsible parents. It's presented as if it's some sort of oppressive burden that's going to, you know, bankrupt you, and it's impossible, and you won't have time for your kids. You won't have money for your kids. You know, what are you going to do about your social life? You know, things like this. It's presented in a very distorted way that's certainly unhealthy for, you know, healthy relationships. So, you know, you couple that with, you know, the propaganda and the narratives that we received with this sort of medical tyranny, this technological tyranny that we see that has, you know, impacts on our health as well. I've read a lot of the studies that you have documenting that, you know, men's sperm counts are down, as you mentioned. Women are having more and more difficulties conceiving and you know, seeing pregnancies out. So it's a very real situation that we're dealing with, one that, you know, a lot of people aren't talking about. So I do tip my hat to you for focusing on these issues. It's something that, you know, I'm sort of aware of, but I haven't really spent a lot of time studying the issue or talking about the issue. But it is very important. And you're right. I mean, there are ways to sort of combat it, I guess, and to kind of deal with it. And one of the first ways of doing that is knowing about these issues and talking about them and educating yourself. And, you know, realizing just how unnatural. See, that's the thing to me with, like, modern medicine. Every time I've ever been in a hospital or seen a doctor, everything is so unnatural. And you know, I basically try to avoid doctors, and I've been very successful at doing that over the years with, you know, a couple exceptions. But to me, I mean, the key to maintaining, you know, a healthy life is the basics: eating good food, good quality food, not, you know, junk food, not fast food, not processed food, but eating good, real food, and drinking good water, you know, getting out and getting exercise, getting sunshine, avoiding harmful substances and harmful foods. And really, to me, a key thing is avoiding pharmaceuticals. You know, think about how harmful and truly devastating some of these pharmaceutical drugs, like OxyContin, for example, and there's many others that are prescribed to, you know, enrich these, you know, pharmaceutical companies. Really, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. I think the whole OxyContin scandal really kind of proved that they were pushing this highly addictive drug on people just to make money. And they basically admitted that in a lot of their private meetings that have been exposed. So really, the whole modern medical establishment, the whole modern medicine industry, and I would tie like the modern like health insurance industry in with that. It's all a gigantic scam, designed to make money, designed to exploit us financially and economically, and to, you know, attack the very, you know, natural immunities, and natural ways of living that we've, you know, sort of thrived upon over the years and until maybe the past 100 years or so.
Let me back up here, John, because you talked about a lot of different things in that little segment there. And one of the things I'd really like to stress is with respect to the messages we're receiving about, you know, parenting being a burden and all of this nonsense about how families, you know, how families don't matter, and really what we want is a career, and we want to be able to have sex and have sex and have sex and have more sex, and that's really what's going to give us pleasure. In truth, at the core of any loving being is a desire for the fulfillment of human love. It's a desire for an enduring family love, a bonded family love, a love that brings children onto this earth to continue love on, see that love is perpetuated beyond our lifetime and into the next. Really, at the core of mankind's essence is a desire for love and a fulfillment of human love while we're on the earth, of earthly love. And very, very, very few people ever achieve this. And that's a sad state of affairs. Many have been mind controlled because they're willingly turn their televisions on. I don't have a TV. I haven't watched TV in over 20 years, which is why I can see what I see. But those who watch TV are asking to be programmed. That's why they call it programming. And they are programmed. They are programmed to think that they want something other than love. And this is a shame. And so they'll have their sex, and they'll have more sex, and they'll willingly kill their children so that they can continue to have sex. Outside of the bond of love. This is what it's come to. We're willing to engage in human sacrifice of our own children so that we can have sex and more sex and more sex. But again, these are Luciferian norms. You see, Luciferians don't love. Luciferians have lots of sex with lots of different people. Their religion requires them to have orgies. They engage in human sacrifice, including the murder of their own children. And now all of America is as well. We're living in a totally satanized world. And those who control the media have fed this to us as our daily food to normalize their very disturbing and sick way of life. And to make it seem like it's, you know, safe to go into a hospital, you know, you wouldn't want to dare try to give birth without the help of these satanic forces, would you? They can offer you so much. They can offer you the ability to force your baby out of the womb before it's ready to be born. They can offer you the ability to be injected with drugs that mimic oxytocin, drugs that mimic a feeling of human love, and provide you instead with a feeling of a drug-induced euphoria, which your baby will be born with, so that your baby will not know human love the way that child is designed to experience at birth, and you won't either, because you're filled with toxic drugs in your system when you give birth. These drugs include Pitocin, which is synthetic oxytocin. It's a mimic of natural oxytocin, which is the love hormone, and fentanyl, right, which is used in epidural anesthesia. Many, 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 many babies are born on fentanyl. And what a shock to find out that many are becoming addicted to fentanyl when they come of age. How could this possibly have happened? Here's children being born who are just the opportunity to human love because of the drugs, because of the interference, the deliberate interference in bonding, whose oxytocin receptor sites are damaged because of those drugs, whose bodies cannot produce oxytocin, their brains and their bodies are altered from the use of these drugs. And yes, they seek their baseline memory of well-being, which is totally synthetically derived through pharmaceuticals and other things.
Yeah, and see, that kind of goes back to my point. My main, you know, beef and critique of like modern medicine is just how unnatural it is, how we're, you know, fed all these pharmaceutical drugs, and you know, everything's just so unnatural. How did it get this way? Could you maybe, I don't know, this is probably a very broad question, but if you could maybe like summarize or outline how we got to this point, because I mean, you know, again, going back even maybe 100 years or so, you know, women were still giving birth in their homes, correct? I mean, that was like the common practice. How did we get to this sort of institutionalized, modern, corporate, totally tyrannical medical system where, you know, women are basically forced to go into a hospital, you know, and give birth, and they're, all these drugs are pushed on them and you know, promoted and whatnot? Could you kind of maybe sort of like outline how this all happened, if you could? I know that's kind of a broad question, but.
What happened is that the Rockefellers, these are Luciferian bloodlines that we're going to talk about. They took over the medical system, right? They gave a lot of money in their philanthropic way to the medical schools. And then they got on all the medical school boards and said, you know, since we gave you so much money, now we have to be able to make sure our money's going to good use and, you know, to know about what you're teaching and what you're supporting. And they got things to totally change around to support Rockefeller-funded medicine, which is completely based on chemical industry. It's based on sorcery. Pharmaceutical, the word pharmacy derives from the word pharmakia, which means sorcery. So they use their chemicals just in the same way that they used herbs in the Bible, herbs like mandrake. This is the same bloodlines, okay? They poison people. slowly with their sorcery. That's what pharmaceuticals do. There's no, you will never ever experience true health going through the pharmaceutical pathway. You may, it's a suppression of symptoms, which is not ever going to get to the root of your problem and help you to heal it. And this is the way the medical system is designed. It is designed to keep people within it. It is designed to suck as much money out of people as is possible before the person is ultimately killed through the medical system. The medical system is the United States. It's the largest killer. I mean, they're killing close to 1 million people annually that we know about through the medical system, through pharmaceuticals, through vaccines, through various devices, not the least of which is their radiation in quote unquote treatments and diagnostic tools. So it's a very, very dark. And it started with the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers are also responsible for this, the whole manipulation of human sexuality and what's called the women's liberation movement that we now call feminism. So the Rockefellers, what they did, and I've done a whole double DVD series on the origins of pornography and the manipulation of human love, the breakdown of human love, the deliberate attempt to break down human love, and just exactly how they did it. So the Rockefellers basically funded Alfred Kinsey's quote-unquote research, Alfred Kinsey being a predator, a pedophile, someone who enjoyed having sex with young boys and whose research involved, you know, the deliberate sexual entrapment and manipulation of infants and children older than infants in order to prove, quote unquote, that they are bisexual and orgasmic from birth. So I've done a whole talk on this. It's a double DVD set that's available only through my website at birthofanewearth.com. That outlines exactly the path that they took, not only to convince people that we are sexual from birth, that women really have no interest in bonded love, really, you know, based on Kinsey's research, which was promoted big time through Rockefeller-funded media and Rockefeller-funded medicine, that women really just want to get off. What women really want, women are basically cats in heat, according to Kinsey's research. But the difference between human women and cats in heat is that when cats are in heat, they allow males to approach in order to create life. You see, but human women have no interest in that, according to his research. They don't want to create life. Really, they just want the orgasm. And they get women to believe this. They got us to fall for this. Millions of women have fallen for this and are now seeking the multiple orgasmic, even orgasmic birth. You know, there's a whole big trip about bringing dildos to your labor so that you can masturbate while you're trying.
I've not heard of that. That's incredible.
I'm not kidding. Okay, I am not kidding. And these are big names in the birth professional movement, those who are involved in orgasmic birth, convincing all the women that really what birth is about is hedonistic self-pleasure. And we should be trying to find the way to maximize orgasms during childbirth. This is how far we've come. You will see the sexualization of pregnant women everywhere. especially in pornography, the sexualization of breastfeeding, the sexualization of breasts. Let's just start with a very basic thing. Breasts are for nursing babies. That is really what our Creator has designed them for. They are not for fleshy, indulgent sexual gratification. That is not the human design. That is not the mammalian design. You don't see gorillas or any other living creature, female creature, presenting themselves in a lust-based fashion. Whereas the human female has been so mind-controlled that she will allow her 10-year-old daughter to dress up as a sex object and to think that that's okay.
Yeah,
this is how far
it's. And I couldn't agree with you more. And you know what? It seems to be just increasing exponentially, it seems like. I mean, even in my lifetime, I'm 33 years old. I mean, just over the course, you know, since I've been, you know, an adult and kind of thinking about political issues and following the news and following what's going on, I mean, it's expanded tremendously just in that amount of time, you know, the past 10 or 15 years or so. To where now, I mean, things like transgenderism, for example, and homosexuality. I remember being like in high school and, you know, homosexuality was, I guess, kind of promoted to a certain extent, but it wasn't like celebrated and elevated as it is today. Just that concept. And transgenderism is even worse. I mean, I didn't even really know anything about trannies or transsexuals or anything like that when I was younger. But now, you know, these kids are learning about these sorts of concepts when they're in like fourth or fifth grade. You know what I mean? And it's, of course, promoted in all throughout Hollywood and various music videos and various sitcoms that are presented to children. And, you know, even in Disney movies and stuff like that, it's really in your face all the time. It's, you know, inescapable, essentially. And, of course, I think you're right. I mean, I think this is all by design.
The attempt is to break down the family at every turn. In my double DVD set on pornography, by the way, I speak to the issue of homosexuality and sodomy and also transgenderism. So let me start just by saying sodomy. When you're a Luciferian, what you want to do is to break down the natural order. The order, the Creator's order, which is based on love, it's based on family, you know, it's based on healthy families and the fulfillment of human love. So in order to attack that, okay, what they're doing is promoting things like sodomy. When you can convince a man to take his penis and put it into the orifice where excrement comes out, what you are doing, number one, is completely evil and satanic, turning what is based on human love and the creation of life into filth. I mean, total filth and toxicity and disease. The anus is not intended, not at all. It's a one-way street. The anus is supposed to be an exit-only orifice. Okay, for a penis to be put into the anus is very, very damaging to the anus. That's number one. That skin is not meant for this and can easily be ripped and torn. And then excrement gets in there and disease occurs, which is why homosexuals have such a high disease rate and a very early death rate. All right, what they're doing is an abomination, and this is not meant to attack homosexuals. All right, I believe homosexuality is caused by child abuse, very early experiences of sodomy. I do not believe that our Creator introduced this abomination onto our earth, not at all. This was introduced by the dark side, by the abuse of children. And now it has gotten to such an extent because they're trying to normalize Luciferianism and Satanism. But sodomy is a key to Luciferianism. In order to create a child that will comply with the Luciferian doctrines, they will rape the child by the age of 3. They will sodomize the child. This is all in my pornography DVD. I'm not going to go deep into this because I understand it's new. It's new even for you. So it's going to be new for your audience. And it's very dark and heavy material. But people need to understand this. Even when I was your age, I'm twice your age, John. I'm 60. But when I was your age, within pornography, which was completely promoted at that time, there was a lot of sodomy going on. And I was conditioned to believe that it was normal. And my husband, you know, I allowed my husband to sodomize me. Okay? That's how far gone I was. And even though it was incredibly painful, incredibly abnormal, nothing good about it whatsoever, it was still normalized. And it is to this day. And so young women in their teens will acquiesce to this because the boys are seeing it in pornography where it has been normalized, where they're taught that that's what they want. And it's nothing very, very wrong. And something else about the Luciferians that people should be aware of is that they raise their children transgender, meaning if the child is born a girl, it will be raised as a boy. And if the child is born a boy, it will be raised as a girl. And the reason for this is to break the child's identity, to break the child's link with its core identity based on our Creator's design. And get him to be formed into the shape that the Luciferians want him. They will sodomize. I mean, I developed a close friendship with a survivor of satanic ritual abuse who explained how he was raised to be Kathy. And when he was with members of the cult, he had to dress as a girl. He had to sexually service the adult members of the cult while he was dressed as a girl. And he had to answer to the name Kathy. And he described how they conditioned him to believe that he was a girl.
Yeah, incredible. You know, I got to ask you, you know, I am familiar, and I'm glad that you're bringing up your DVD series that you can purchase from your website. I'll have a link to that when I post this program. Excuse me. And your website is birthofanewearth.com. And you can find it. It's Pornography and the Attack on Human Love. And if I'm not mistaken, this was this the presentation you did at the Free Your Mind conference? Yeah. It looks like, I'm sorry, you say here a portion of the material you shared at the Free Your Mind conference in Philadelphia in 2016. But you can purchase the entire presentation directly from you on your website. And I would encourage people to, you know, of course, support your work and to check this stuff out and to educate yourself about these topics. One thing I did want to mention, I have studied, you know, the systematic promotion of sexual deviancy and homosexuality and transgenderism and pornography pretty extensively. And my main focus has been the role that radical anti-white, anti-Western Jewish communists, you know, basically communists, that almost all of these people that have promoted this, at least at the highest levels, have been Jewish, and they've been very clear about their agenda, and it's an attempt to undermine and subvert and ultimately destroy traditional Western civilization. So I've kind of focused on like the Jewish aspect of it, the cultural Marxist aspect of it, as part of like a broader assault on our culture, on our traditions, on our familial norms, on our sexual relations. I mean, really, that's what it's all about. You've been using the words Luciferian and Satanism. And I'm not trying to criticize you. I'm just trying to understand, how would you define these concepts? Do Jews tie into this, or is it something broader than that? How would you kind of explain these concepts?
How I would explain these concepts in a nutshell is that, yes, Judaism is a Luciferian cult. It's a infant torturing, genital mutilating, blood sucking, blood. It's a blood cult. It's, you know, they torture animals, they torture infants, they've been involved in blood sacrifice for centuries. And of course, Islam and Christianity are offshoots of this. And we will see, even in Christianity, which has a completely different morality, but there are elements of Satanism within Christianity. So, for example, drinking the blood and eating the body parts of Christ. I'm not going to go deep into this topic, but you will see in all the Abrahamic traditions aspects of Luciferianism and Satanism, because these are offshoots of Judaism. If you look at the interview with Howard Rosenthal, this is a very, very powerful interview that was done in 1776, where he basically came right out and said the whole agenda. Okay. And at the end of this interview, which every person, you know, every person that's white and Christian and or Christian should read this interview, because you should know what's up. But at the end of this interview, he says, you know, most Jews do not like to admit this, but our God is Lucifer and we are his chosen people.
So Lucifer, Lucifer meaning like the devil, essentially, is that kind of what you're getting at?
Lucifer, for people that don't understand, that don't know the story of Lucifer, the way that I learned it is Lucifer was an angel, a beautiful angel, that God, our creator, the loving creator, really loved Lucifer. But Lucifer became quite vain and full of himself. Decided that he's no longer interested to be an underling, that he was equal to and or more powerful than the creator. And it was a group of entities, we'll call them angels, they call them fallen angels, that followed Lucifer and said, yeah, we're not under God, we are gods. So these beings, this is what they call the great fall, you know, and all the fallen angels. These beings, they hate God. And I say God, I'm thinking of the biblical God, because the biblical God is the God of the Jews. And I don't care whether it's Islam or Christians or Jews worshiping that deity. It is the God of the Jews. When I speak of the real creator, all right, these beings hate the real creator. They despise the real creator. And they despise everything that the real creator has brought forth, including this magnificent earth in all of its splendor and all of its pristine beauty. And that is why you see the complete destruction of the natural world. And you see these beings making every attempt to poison, pollute, maim, mutilate, torture, destroy all that is good and beautiful in this world. Everything. Our air, our water, our food, every single thing that is good and beautiful about our world. And even human love, okay, look at what they've done. Look at what they've done. And look, you know, I'm white. I'm part of the white race. I'm part of the racial group that is the white race. This is a soul group. And I have had to bear witness to how, to the abject stupidity and gullibility of the white race. We are incredibly trusting, incredibly naive, and incredibly easy to mind control. And in this, we are now being forced to step out of it. If we do not step into our essence in the way the Creator designed us to be, express glory and the magnificent that the Creator has designed us with, we are going to go extinct. We are very, I'm telling you, John, 60 years. Dr. Zach Bush, it's true.
We got a huge mess on our hands. There's no doubt about it. And there's so few people that are even aware of it. There's so few people that you can actually talk to about these things. That's what's really frustrating to me. And I totally sympathize with you. I mean, so many white people are just so hopelessly brainwashed. It's very, very, very frustrating.
It's very, very dangerous, not just for us as individuals or our families, but for every living thing. I mean, people your age are so surrounded by technology at this point, walking around with cell phones in their pockets. If you've got any sperm after this, it's going to be amazing. Cell phones kill your sperm. You know, they're destroying female eggs. Women are walking around and putting these phones in their bras. Young women, pregnant women, holding the phones up to their pregnant bellies, putting their Wi-Fi laptops on their pregnant bellies. People, wake up. Wake up. Snap out of it.
I really do think things could change really, really quickly. But there's just such a stranglehold on the narrative, a stranglehold on information. And it goes much deeper than just like mainstream media, right? Or even not even necessarily mainstream media, but just media in general. It's deeper than that. It's historical narratives that fundamentally shape how the vast majority of people, the vast majority of white people, certainly view their experience and their history in this world we live in. I think a number of historical narratives have been totally weaponized against us, and they're literally endlessly promoted anywhere you look, whether it's in the government, in our school system, you go to college, you get the same narratives, you turn on your television, you get the same narratives. It's so hard for people to deprogram themselves. It's happening. I mean, I think it's, we've made a lot of progress over the past few years, but we still got a long way to go. And there still is just this total stranglehold on information. It's going to take, you know, much more effort on our part for sure to get the story straight and to really expose what's going on. And what's so amazing to me is that it's really not all that hard to figure this stuff out. I follow pretty much exclusively Jewish news outlets. Not exclusively, but I mean, I do follow a number of explicitly Jewish news outlets. And it's incredible what they themselves say and write and document and boast about and admit. I could go on and on. Yeah. One topic. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yes, it is incredible what they will say. They'll say it flat out. They've been telling us all along. You know?
Yeah,
and
no,
here we
exactly.
Are, like, pretending.
But yeah, and pretending like, oh, and then like you or I pointed out, and somehow it's like this crazed conspiracy theory, like this anti-Semitic, theory we just made up or something, when we're literally like quoting a Jew saying it. Here's one for you. Speaking of pornography, if you look at the systematic promotion of pornography, how pornography got started, it's pretty much all Jews behind it, at least mostly. One of the top Jewish pornographers in the modern era is a man named Al Goldstein, who died back in 2013. And I got some quotes here from him. He said, "The only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think that Christ sucks. Catholicism sucks. Yep. We don't believe in authoritarianism." Yep. So Jews are fundamentally driven by this deep-seated hatred. And I really do think it is. It's this hatred of of Christianity, a hatred of not even necessarily Christianity. I think they view Christianity as like a component of the wider, you know, Western civilization or Western culture. They fundamentally hate us. And I think that's what this all boils down to. And when this man died, you know, there was Jewish news outlets, I'm sorry, that were reporting on, you know, the role that like Judaism played in this man's identity and how he was driven by his Jewish identity, and how he wanted to basically debase and corrupt our society. And you know, like corset, a quote from Alan Dershowitz, another perverted Jewish sexual predator, at least that's what a lot of young women are saying, especially in light of all these revelations, or not even necessarily revelations, but this exposure to the crimes committed by Jeffrey Epstein. He talked about how, Goldstein coarsened American sensibilities and kind of paved the way for this further sexualization of our society. I got another good quote here from a Jewish professor. This is a professor Abrams, and he describes pornography as a way of defiling Christian culture. And as it penetrates to the very heart of the American mainstream, its subversive character becomes more charged. Jewish involvement in porn, by this argument, is the result of an atavistic hatred of Christian authority. They are trying to weaken the dominant culture in America by moral subversion. And that's exactly what, you know, pornography and the broader, you know, sexualization of our society has done. It's totally destroyed our morals, to where now, you know, it's not even considered, you know, shameful to engage in premarital sex or to have a child out of wedlock or anything like that. When in the past, I mean, you could be like, you know, basically disenfranchised from your family if you were to do something like that. I mean, they've totally undermined and overthrown our traditional society in so many ways. And I think you're right. I think a lot of it does go back to this promotion of not only pornography, but just, the debasing of sexual norms in general.
I want to suggest, and this is a lot of why I use the word Luciferian, because most Jewish people don't have a clue about anything we're saying here. And there is a group of, it's called organized Jewry. That's one way to look at this group. They are Luciferians. They are Kabbalists. They are very involved in the use of magic, including sex magic, to manipulate the human mind and to manipulate human societies and to manipulate people. Now, keep in mind that most Jewish people are under the same mind control that we are. You know, they're completely like us in many, many ways. They don't know what's going on. Some of them do know. There's no question about that. But my perception, people in my personal life, is that many don't have a clue. And that's something we need to remember.
And it's I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all.
It's very complicated because we can't do this sweeping, you know, oh, it's the Jews. And because, yeah, it's organized Jewry. We got a serious problem with organized Jewry. There's no question about it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's precisely what I mean. Yeah, it is the organized Jewish community for sure. And I mean, there's a number of prominent leaders who, you know, identify basically as like ethnic Jewish activists. You know, think about like the CEO of the ADL. I mean, he's like a professional Jewish activist out there representing Jewish interests. This guy certainly doesn't speak for every single Jew out there, but that's the way he presents himself. And that's the way many people take it. And then I think if you look at like the way various organized Jewish groups have used their power and used their influence and lobbied the government for various measures, it almost all goes, it almost all ties into this fundamental assault on our civilization, whether it's immigration or pornography or these other topics we've been talking about. It all boils down to this, you know, desire to fundamentally transform our and undermine and destroy our culture.
Yeah, you got to understand the demonic aspect of this. You know, this is a very, this is like thousands of years, this plan that they've carried out. These creatures, you know, if we go right back to the beginning of the Bible, all right, in Genesis, where Eve is beguiled by the serpent. Okay, she then produces a being named Cain. So if we look at this closely and we're not under mind control, you know, if you step outside of the mind control for a minute and say, okay, what really is going on here? Who was this serpent being? What was this creature? And that Cain came out. My personal opinion is that we're dealing with a bloodline that's only part human and part not.
I agree.
And yeah, so they have a capacity to do extreme harm without feeling any empathy. That's not a human capacity. Humans have empathy. Humans have the ability to feel and to, you know, empathize with other beings who are in pain. But these creatures don't. They don't. They're a brutal, you know, we've got creatures like the royal family of England, for example, the Windsors. These are full on reptilian. And I mean, they're not human. They're not. I was just reading a story about, you know, things that Princess Diana said before they killed her. It's clear they're not human. But then we have a bloodline that's mixed, that's part them and part earthling, you know, and these beings must be tortured inside.
Right.
Because yeah. They're standing in both worlds. The genetics are totally mixed. And I think these are the people we call Jewish people.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I think, you know, to a large extent, that's exactly what we're dealing with.
And the Bible is the beginning of their story, right? How did these people come to be? They came to be through what this woman did, what this being called Eve did. And right. She produced beings like Abraham. Abraham was a deceiving sorcerer. All of these creatures that are so honored in the biblical tradition, you know, really were disgusting if you look at it from outside and you really look at what they did. He pimped his wife, right? I don't know how well you know the Bible, right. But you go back in and
yeah.
He pimps it. And he comes out of it a rich man and he does it over and over again. And, you know, he's willing to kill his own child because he's hearing voices in his head. And, I mean, the guy was nuts. And here we've got three major religions on this planet. And millions of people claiming that's my ancestor. Well, hello. I'm not interested in him being my ancestor.
Yeah, everybody's got a different take when it comes to the Bible, for sure. You know, I wanted to keep this to about an hour. We're approaching the hour right now. I wanted to talk about one more topic. If you've got just a few more minutes, I definitely wanted to bring up the whole Epstein situation, considering it's, you know, making headlines left and right, especially in the past, you know, week or so. I'm sure you're familiar with the story, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Of course. Yeah. I mean, who isn't at this point? You know, and I've been kind of aware of the situation for a number of years, but now it's really making news. And what's interesting to me is that pretty much everything, you know, you see being reported all over the place now is, you know, well-founded. I mean, this is not new information or anything. It's kind of amazing. It almost makes me think something's amiss here. Like, why is this all of a sudden a big story when it's been a big story, you know, going back 10 years at least? But anyways, I was actually reading a story earlier this morning. Of course, the man who cut Epstein's original deal back in 2008, Acosta, he was actually the Secretary of Labor for President Trump. He just resigned. That was a big news this morning. I've got an article pulled up here from the Epoch Times. Let me just read this, some of it briefly. Epstein lawyers offer $77 million bond for latest sex trafficking charges. And it begins here. Jeffrey Epstein, the registered child sex offender who was recently arrested on charges of sex trafficking underage girls, has asked a federal judge to let him out of jail with bond that would allow him to remain under house arrest in his Manhattan mansion while he awaits trial. His lawyers argued in a federal court filing that house arrest with electronic monitoring, 24-hour surveillance, and the surrendering of his passport and private jet would ensure that he was not a flight risk. They added that he had never sought to flee the country. The proposal said the bond would be secured by a mortgage on his Upper East Side mansion, valued at $77 million, to be backed by the posting of his brother and friend's home and investment properties as further collateral. The filing revealed Epstein saying he feared the toxic political climate might attempt the government to try and end run his 2007 federal non-prosecution agreement by pursuing new sexual abuse charges filed through other federal judicial districts. His lawyers have argued that according to the plea deal signed with the Department of Justice through the Southern District of Florida in 2008, Epstein is immune to any new charges of crimes committed during the same time period. And that deal that he struck back in 2008 was basically coordinated by Acosta, who just resigned today. And this was a man who was recently quoted. Apparently, when he was being interviewed by the Trump team, you know, when they were trying to get him up and you know, get him up in front of Congress to get approved for Secretary of Labor, he flat out said that he was told that Epstein was connected to intelligence and that he had to cut this deal. And there have been many people speculating that Epstein was basically some sort of intelligence operative, and he had a state sponsor who was using him for blackmailing purposes. Of course, all of his properties had surveillance cameras and equipment, you know, spread throughout. And, you know, it was basically, well, I think about his girlfriend as well, Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, whose father was Robert Maxwell, a Mossad operative in the United Kingdom and a major media mogul over there for a number of years. You know, he was girlfriends with this man's daughter. And it's just incredible the ties that are being exposed. And again, this is well known to people that have been following these topics for any number of years, but it's incredible how it's being revealed now. And it almost has me thinking something is amiss here, and he's going to either get let off or something crazy is going to happen. I'm not sure exactly what to make of it. But I wanted to ask you, what's your take on all of this?
You know, I guess I'm cautiously optimistic because it's absolutely clear that since Trump took office, there's been a lot of pedophile arrests, many thousands in the United States. So I've been kind of keeping track of that. I find that an interesting phenomenon. And there's an election coming, you know, so I don't know if Trump may be trying to take this opportunity to say, basically say to them, if you toy with this election again, you know, the way you did with the last one, I'm going to take you down. You know, because Epstein, of course, is part of organized Jewry. The whole pedophile scene, I mean, if people realize that the Talmud says it's okay to have sex with three-year-olds, this is part of Judaism. It's a fundamental part of Judaism. So they're trying to legitimize it. Maybe on the other end of it, if it has nothing to do with Trump, okay, maybe this is their attempt to legitimize it and to turn Jeffrey Epstein into some kind of hero. Oh, poor Jeff, you know, this is something he was born with and he can't help it. And we really need to have compassion for these people.
Well, and there are people that have argued this, like even at like TED Talks, you know, there's people giving speeches about how, you know, pedophilia is just like a condition. It's not, you know, a crime, or it's not even necessarily any sort of deviancy. It's just a condition that some people are afflicted with. It's incredible.
Well, they will always try to say that this is, you know, and pedophiles from the get-go, made them homosexuals from the get-go. None of this is true. The ones who are making them pedophiles and homosexuals are the ones who are raping them in childhood. That's what's going on. This is the core of these perversions, these abominations. They really are abominations.
Yes, so there's nothing natural. I totally agree with that,
Yeah, so I don't know I really don't know with Jeffrey Epstein. I don't trust Trump. You know, I've seen him piss ass to Israel way too much. But I do also see there's been a lot of pedophile arrests since he's gotten into office, and he may be doing some kind of Trump card thing. He's not stupid. He may be a jerk, but he's not stupid. And he knows how to play their game. Otherwise, he never would have gotten to where he is right now.
Did you vote for him?
I did. I did. I hadn't voted in probably 15 or 20 years. And I had this dream about him. And it really compelled me to go back to the voting booth and to vote for him, because I got through the dream that there's something different about this man. And I could see through their media, you know, because I'm like you, I follow a lot of the Jewish press. They hate him. They're terrified of him. And they cannot say enough bad things about him, and they've not stopped. I'm surprised they haven't assassinated him.
I certainly supported him and voted for him, but in my mind, he's really been just a huge disappointment and has failed to really get anything done. It's extremely disappointing, and I guess it just goes to show that we simply cannot rely on these politicians to really accomplish anything. It's got to be more of a, in my mind, I mean, until we get people on board and up to speed with some of the concepts we've been discussing throughout this conversation, it's going to be tough to really get anywhere politically.
We can't depend on this system. The system is there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been created by them. Okay, it's totally generated by them. It's a system of control. To support a little bit, he has done some good in terms of the abortion stuff. To try to put the brakes on this evil. There has been movement there, even to placements on the Supreme Court and to defunding of abortion places. And he definitely has done some good in terms of getting pedophiles arrested. So there is some movement in the right direction. It's pathetically small. On the other hand, he's all about making sure everybody's completely irradiated with 5G, even except for the fact that his Palm Beach home, you know, Palm Beach will be exempt from 5G, and so will the 20-block radius around the White House.
Oh, no kidding. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's in my book, The Dark Side of Prenatal Ultrasound. It goes very deep into this radiation issue. Trump has created lots of little pockets of protection for himself while out there proclaiming the need for this extremely dangerous energy, which will kill people much faster than 4G. 4G has taken a lot of people down. is, you know, I got very sick myself, which is what prompted me to clean up my home. So these technologies are incredibly dangerous. And the sooner people understand this, the better, the more chance we have of recovering from what we've been exposed to so far. But people need to understand, really, really encourage people to please check out my ultrasound book, The Dark Side of Prenatal Ultrasound. It's on Amazon. It's also available on my website if you'd be interested to get a signed copy from me. And it also helps me because I make a little bit more money if you buy it directly through me. But it's a very important book so that people can understand. I also have a book about birth trauma and what's going on with the medical system for people who care about children, who care about families. My work is very important in that area, in these areas. So please check out my website at birthofanewearth.com.
Yes, yes, I completely agree. I will have links over to your site once I post this program. And yeah, I highly encourage everybody to not only visit the website, but support your work, buy your DVDs, buy your books. I will try to do that myself once we wrap up here. Janice, did you have any other closing remarks or anything you wanted to say before we wrap up here?
My closing remarks are, please do what you can to find the place in your heart that is longing for human love. To know that sex is not it. Sex is not love. And when we reduce ourselves to just this fleshy gratification thing, we're reducing the possibility to really experience the fulfillment of an enduring union and of creating children from love and who can contribute to the fulfillment of love on earth. And please visualize the earth in its pristine form. Take 2, 3, 5 minutes every day to see the waters clear and the skies clear, and to visualize the earth being permanently rid of all forms of evil. It's time for us to make the determination that we're no longer willing to coexist with evil, that we are commanding it to leave the earth permanently, and we're shutting the portal behind these creatures. We cannot coexist with them. They must go. And it's up to us to make them go permanently.
Yes, and we can do that. Well said. Yes, okay. Very well said. Well, Janice, yeah, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it, and I hope to talk to you again.
God bless you, John.
Okay, you take care.
Bye for now.
Bye.